Thank you. Okay, our speaker tonight is Debbie, who will now share her experience for 20 minutes on step 10. Would you like a 5-minute warning when your time is almost up?
Yes, I would. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead. It's all yours.
Hi, everybody. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. Thank you for inviting me, Lonnie, to speak to the group. My name is Debbie. I'm an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater. And Lonnie asked that I talk a little bit about how I do step 10. Step 10 for me is really the cornerstone of where I continue to grow. And I continue to really try to apply the principles of the program in all of my affairs, because the transcription in preparation today, I was rereading it and my notes from having gone through BBA. That's what I went through BBA with. Lonnie was our step guide during the beginning part of COVID. So from around May through December of 2020. And at that time, I identified as a as an alcoholic. I was aware that I had been experiencing other addictive behaviors. Most evident to me was food. And that I had, as I went through that process, I really began to understand and really internalize for the first time that all of my behaviors and my thinking is very much addictive, meaning I am the type of person that I engage in the all or nothing thinking. I am impetuous. I like to make commitments without really thinking them through, because I get very enthusiastic in the moment. And then I would end up oftentimes canceling commitments or canceling obligations because I hadn't really thought them through and I didn't have the time. And all of that really began to come to light as I went through the BBA process. And that's why I really do identify just as a general addict at this point. And although I'm in recovery and I am abstaining from alcohol, I am working on all of those other concerns that I see about myself that I think get in the way of being kind of the best version of myself and what I think my higher power intends me to be. So when I look at step 10, you know, I've gone through and I identified the things that were from my past that were troubling me, and, you know, went through 8 and 9, and, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. And so I've done kind of like the clearing of kind of like level setting, the stuff that was bothering me, I would say, from my past and was affecting me at that point. So then moving forward, what I find is that I am the person that I have to look and continue to look for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear every day. And when I do have those crop up, which it is a daily occurrence, I know that the book and our literature tells me to ask God at once to remove them. So for me, that's the pause, because I am in a workplace, so I'm not always able to just stop what I'm doing and pick up the phone and talk to another alcoholic or text another alcoholic. But what I can do is when those feelings of discomfort come over me, I try to pause and I try to identify what's going on, that sense of discomfort. And just this morning, I felt it. And it's always almost always a physical sensation. I will get tense in my neck. I will stop breathing, and I'll start taking deep breaths and I'll start feeling stress. And that stress for me is the physical manifestation of one of these things. I just don't always know what it is because for so long, I stuffed my feelings. So I was really unable and I had to learn to identify these different things. And I do, I pause and I ask for guidance. I usually say the fear prayer or the set aside prayer or the third step prayer. And I'll just say that and recite that to myself. And I do try to discuss them. Now, I have a dear friend with whom I work. She's not in the program, but there's nothing in the book that says I have to talk to another alcoholic or another person in recovery. I just need to talk to someone. And so sometimes that person is my dear friend, my best friend who I work with. And, you know, I will just go and talk to her and say, hey, I'm really struggling with this or troubled by this, or especially like if it's something that I'm feeling selfish about. And, you know, I need to bounce things off of other people because I don't always really trust my own thinking. It's something that I struggle with a lot because my best thinking got me into the rooms of recovery. So I think I have some distortion in my thinking. So when these feelings come up, I've been taught that feelings aren't facts and that I need to remember that I can appreciate and honor that feeling, but what I do with it is really the important thing in terms of my recovery and how I'm going to give it over, let go, and let God in. And usually when I'm feeling these things, it's because I'm in self-reliance. And that's and when I'm in self-reliance, I'm forgetting to turn it over. I'm forgetting to ask for help. And so what I do then is I'm supposed to resolutely turn to someone else and think about someone else and help them. And so often that's the time when I will text or call someone either in or out of the program who I know is struggling or I thought would perhaps benefit from a check-in. And sometimes I don't have that ability. And sometimes I will just pray for someone who I think is struggling or troubled. And again, what that does for me is it interrupts that thought pattern, that obsessiveness of thought, that I can go down that rabbit hole in a heartbeat. And my behavior is, because as I was saying, I'm so all or nothing, I can go from being fine and I can be like that person that has a great idea to put milk in their whiskey or, you know, eat and food that's not on my food plan. And the next thing I know, I don't even know how I got there. But I've had that, I can have that behavior, you know, come upon me. So when I pause, that interrupts that thought process. And that to me is the most important thing that I've learned is just the pause and learning to do nothing and just sitting with those feelings and experiencing them because I can't really identify and process them unless I can give voice to them. And so then if I'm troubled and something and throughout the day, if that other thought comes up and that process doesn't help me, you know, doesn't allow me to get relief, that's when I do engage in the process of doing that short spot inventory. And I'll write down, you know, what's bothering me, what I think the cause is, you know, what's my part, what the other person's part is. And at that point is when I will reach out. You know, they talk about having like a 10-step buddy, and I don't officially have one. But I do have someone in the program who I really trust, and I will call that person and check in with her and have that conversation. And we will then talk about it. And it's really not like, it's not a therapy session. It's for me to give it over and to get it out and to then move on and move past that. And what I've also found in this experience is that this is where, you know, I like that footnote three, where it says, nothing about this is a maintenance step. This is really a growth step. And that's why I think it's, to me, it's kind of the bridge from going from the past to living in the present, and also enriching my program and digging more deeply. Because by doing these inventories and doing this spot check on a daily basis and trying to maintain that spiritual condition so that I can be in that position of neutrality against whatever my foe is, be alcohol, food, whatever is troubling me, that's how I get that. And without maintaining that spiritual condition, that's when I start to get into these bedevilments. And the other thing that I have found time and again is that I have a really hard time with dishonesty. And that was really a revelation to me. I will tell myself a story and will try to rationalize away either my feelings or my behavior. And I don't really get honest with myself because sometimes that honesty it's not in accordance with how I want to see myself, how I want to be. And the way I am is oftentimes different from the way I want to be. And that's where the dishonesty creeps in. For example, I really want to be that person that exercises every day. I really I really want to be that person that writes down my food program every evening and commits to it. But the fact of the matter is, for whatever reason, I haven't made either of those a priority right now. And when it comes to exercise, I don't really like to exercise. I like the way I feel after and during, but getting me started is really hard. Well, that's what I'm talking about with this dishonesty. Like, I want to view myself as this together person that, you know, has their time allocated, you know, well, and, you know, lives this very wholesome life. And I don't, because my life is messy. And if I try to pack too much into my life, which is a way I create and foster chaos, is when that stress gets to me. And I really have been thinking a lot about stress, in that I need a little bit of stress in my life to be motivated. But when I get overly stressed, whether dealing with work, personal situation, and I don't allow enough time to breathe, meditate, pray, reflect, that's when I really get into self-reliance. And when I get into self-reliance, I am in trouble, because my best thinking and my best behaviors led me to the awareness and recognition that I can't do it on my own, because I'm an alcoholic and I'm a compulsive overeater. Left to my own devices, I'm going to engage in these harmful behaviors to myself. That's not going to allow me, it's going to separate me from my higher power. I'm just looking at the time. I know I'm supposed to talk for 20 minutes, but I really think that's really what my experience is. Oh, I say all the time, thy will, not mine. That's the other thing that is like my, that in the serenity prayer. And a revelation to me on the serenity prayer that has been kind of a mantra for me, is recognizing the things I can change, the things about myself I can change, and the things I can't change are the things about other people. And so when I say the Serenity Prayer, I usually remind myself and add those things to how I recite it, because it reminds me I'm a controller and fixer. You know, I'm one of those people that I thought that was my job until I came into recovery. I thought everyone wanted me to fix and take care of things, and they didn't, because when I'm engaging in those behaviors, that's when I get really stressed, I get really overwhelmed, I become a martyr, and I lash out. And so it doesn't end well. What in replacing that behavior is how what I've done with this practice is I've learned to ask for help. I've learned to give voice to when I'm having those feelings, and just expressing those feelings oftentimes will give me the relief, just saying it out loud. So I think that's really what I wanted to share, and I hope you got something out of that. And with that, I'll pass.
Debbie, thank you. What a great share. Hold on a sec, I'm going to stop the recording.